In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday, we took a close look at that marvelous declaration in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, which reads, "Baptism now saves you." And because you can find a lot of people who argue that this verse really means baptism doesn't save you, I thought it might be good to spend a few days running through what the Bible says about baptism. It may seem a strange place to begin, but I want to start with one of my favorite Old Testament stories from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. It reads like this. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is such a great story. You have Naaman, the Syrian commander who's been successfully raiding Israel with God's help, but he's been diagnosed with leprosy. He hears of a prophet who can heal him from an unlikely source, a little girl taken as a slave on one of those raids. His king sends a letter to Israel's king, who doesn't like the prophet Elisha, and who now has a fit because he thinks it's all just an excuse for Syria to invade. But Elisha sends a message telling him to send Naaman along. Naaman shows up with wagons of loot to pay for a healing, and he expects the prophet to put on a show. But instead, the prophet's servant meets him at the door and says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." So now you have an angry, sick Syrian commander standing on the front porch. He's come all this way into a country he's been invading. He's not very popular there. He's got leprosy. He was expecting to meet a great prophet, and instead he got the prophet's servant with a really ridiculous message. washing in the Jordan to get rid of leprosy, that's like a doctor saying, hey, if you take a shower, your lung cancer will wash right off. Naaman wants to go home, but his servants restrain him. They say, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? I mean, sure, the plan sounds ridiculous, but the servant's words were the prophet's words, and the prophet's words were God's words. So crazy as it sounds, why not wash in the Jordan 7 times? Nathan consents. He dips himself in the Jordan River 7 times, and he's healed. He's more than healed. His flesh is restored like the flesh of a little child. It sounds like it's not just the leprosy that's gone. But if he's got mottled skin and wrinkles from years in the sun, or maybe a battle scar or two, those are gone too. Now the lesson from this story is not go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you too will be healed. No, this was a one-time miracle for one man, for Naaman. The lesson for you is this. When God adds his promise to water, he can use his word and water to do miraculous things. So if God can use water and his word to cleanse one man of leprosy, could he not also use water and his word to cleanse people of sin? In fact, a little postscript for today. Before Jesus was born of Mary, the Old Testament was already translated from the Hebrew text into Greek, and that Greek Old Testament is called the Septuagint. It's a very important book. In fact, when the New Testament quotes the Old Testament, it often quotes out of the Septuagint. So why have I suddenly become so nerdy in this devotion? Because the Septuagint includes the story of Naaman in Greek. And when the Septuagint says that Nathan dipped himself in the river, the word for dipped there is baptized. Naaman baptized himself, which in context means that he washed himself with water. And by that washing, by that baptism, Naaman was healed. Or if we were to imitate the language of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, we would say that baptism healed Naaman, meaning that God healed Naaman by means of that baptism. So also, holy baptism saves you, for the Lord has delivered you from sin and death by water and his word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And let us pray. O God, on the day of Pentecost, you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, you cleansed Naaman the leper by adding your promise to ordinary water, making it a means of healing. And so you add your promise of grace to water and make it a holy washing, a holy baptism, and a means of grace for us. Preserve us in that faith that you gave us in our baptism, and grant us to live as those who have been cleansed of sin and set free to live as your holy people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I can't say this enough. Rejoice, my friends. You are baptized. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.